I take a while to get used to, don't I? It takes 5 or 6 weeks. If you're a visitor, you just got to come back at least 5 or 6 weeks to kind of get the whole thing. Amen. I'm a taste that's acquired, right? You had to kind of. I understand. My wife had to do the same thing. She's still trying to acquire the taste. Let's sing "Every Day with Jesus" as sweet as the day before. Ready? Every day with Jesus is sweeter than the day before. Every day with Jesus, I love Him more and more. Jesus saves and keeps me, and He's the one I'm waiting for. Every day with Jesus is sweeter than the day before. Amen. It's absolutely true, right? Let's sing, "I'm so happy," and here's the reason why. Ready? I'll try to start low. I'm so happy, and here's the reason why. Jesus took my burdens all away. Now I'm singing as the days go by. Jesus took my burdens all away. Once my heart was heavy with the load of sin, Jesus took the load and gave me wonderful peace within my heart. And now I'm singing as the days go by, Jesus took my burdens all away. I finally got to sing bass, didn't I? Amen. Turn, if you would, in your Bibles to Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4. It's good to be in the house of God. And I tell you what, I just love you and love this church, and just a privilege it is to stand up and preach to you. And I hope you'll listen this morning as we open the Word of God. And this is a familiar passage. In fact, we preached it several years back. And again, about a great story about Naaman the leper. In Luke chapter 4, we won't take the time to read the whole account here, but Jesus is now returned to His hometown, the city of Nazareth. And as was His custom, in verse 16, He went to the synagogue and was there on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And there was, verse 17, "And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found a place where it was written, The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because He hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." Luke chapter 4 and verse 18 and 19. And we see here Jesus stood up in front of His neighbors, stood up in front of the bread man that He had been raised around. He stood up in front of the butcher that He had been raised around. He stood up in front of aunts and uncles and cousins and began to speak. And no doubt there was, as He was approaching there, verse 14 to 15 tell us that His fame had spread abroad. And as He came to His hometown, there was great anticipation as to His coming. And they were all looking forward to Jesus returning. And so, as it was on this Saturday, they came to worship there in the synagogue, and they stood up and they did their invocation and their prayer time, and then there it was time for someone to get up and speak on the Scriptures. And Jesus was chosen, and Jesus stood up and began to speak. He spoke out of the book of Isaiah. And this particular chapter, the rabbis and prophets were referring to Jesus, are referring to the Messiah who would come. And that Messiah would come and heal the brokenhearted and preach deliverance to the captives and the recovering of sight to the blind and set at liberty them that are bruised to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And so Jesus read this particular scripture. He didn't finish it though. It also, there's three or four words that He left off that said that about vengeance and taking vengeance upon His enemies. He left that out. And He closed the book, verse 20, and He gave it again to the minister and sat down, and the eyes of all of them were in the synagogue were fastened upon Him. And He began to say unto them, listen to this, "This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears." He said, "I am the Messiah." He said that to His cousins, His aunts, His uncles. He said that to the neighbor. "I am the Messiah. I am the fulfillment of this scripture." Again, He didn't finish the Scripture. The Scripture finishes in such a way as to taking vengeance upon the enemies. Understand that the Jews were looking for a Messiah, not who would just come and heal the brokenhearted and deliver the captives and heal the blind. They were looking for a deliverer. They were looking for someone who would deliver them from the Roman oppression that they were under. And when they heard that Jesus said that I am the fulfillment of the Scripture, and He didn't finish the sentence, there's a lot of meaning to that. We won't go into everything this morning, but He claimed to be the long-awaited Messiah. Don't ever let that just pass by. Understand that Jesus Christ was the fulfillment of all the Old Testament prophets concerning Himself. He is the fulfillment of that. He was and is the long-awaited Messiah. And He closed the book, verse 20, gave it to the minister, and He says in verse 21, I am the fulfillment of this. Verse 22, and all bear Him witness and wondered at the gracious words which proceeded out of His mouth. And they said, is not this Joseph's son? Isn't this the son of the carpenter? Why is He claiming to be the Messiah? By the way, all the things in verse 18 and 19 that were prophesied about the Messiah, Jesus performed those. Jesus fulfilled those. The proof that He was the Messiah was His miracles. The proof of that He was the Messiah was the virgin birth. The proof. These were proofs of His Messiahship. And it says there that they asked the question, is this not Joseph's son? And basically, you know, condescending, saying, isn't this just the carpenter's son? What is he doing? Who does he think he is? Verse 23, and He said unto them, you will surely say unto me this proverb, physicians, heal thyself. And whatsoever you have heard done in Capernaum, do also here in this country. In other words, what we've heard out here abroad in Capernaum and other places, all the great miracles you've done, won't you do them here? Let me just get ahead of myself and say, they didn't ask. You know, it wasn't the Roman soldiers who came up to Him and said, Lord, heal my daughter. There wasn't none of that going on. The neighbor didn't come up to Him and say, Lord, heal my daughter. Lord, heal my wife. It wasn't going on. And the Bible tells us because of their lack of faith. Right? And He said, verily I say unto you, no prophet is accepted in his own country. It's kind of true, isn't it? You know, people you grew up around perceive and look at you different than the people that you're around now. I'll never forget, I got the opportunity and the Lord led us back to pastor in the town I was raised, or not in the town I was raised in, but to pastor in the church that I was raised in. And I'll never forget, I had two preachers tell me, do not go back to that church. You can never pastor that church. Because those people will look at you different. There was only 12 of them. And they had known me since I was a kid, absolutely, since I was 10, 11 years old. And of course, the leading of the Lord led me there, and I pastored there a year and a half, and God blessed immensely. But there is truth in that. There is truth in that again, the people you're raised around. I got the opportunity before that to go be a youth pastor in my hometown, and people do view you differently. But Jesus there in front of His hometown said, you know what? You want me to do all these great things. You want me to do all these things I've done other places. And then He gives a couple of illustrations, verse 24. And He said, verily I say unto you, no prophet is except in his own country. But I tell you of truth, many widows were in Israel in the days of Elijah, when the heaven was shut up 3 years and 6 months, when great famine was throughout the land. In other words, when Elijah stopped the rain, and there were 3.5 years of famine, why did God send him to a Gentile widow? Why did God not send him to a Jewish widow? Look at verse 26. But unto none of them was Elias sent, save unto Sarepta, the city of Sidon, unto a woman that was a widow. Verse 27, which is my text, and many lepers were in Israel in the time of Elisha, the prophet. And none of them were cleansed, saving Naaman, the Syrian. All right, so during Elisha's time, there were many lepers. But God healed, or Elisha healed, a Syrian. And all of they in the synagogue, when they heard these things, were filled with wrath. So basically, He just pointed out that two Gentiles were healed because the Jews wouldn't get right with God and have faith in the Lord, right? And that's a very quick summary, but that's basically it. Verse 29, and He rose up and thrust him out, and they rose up and thrust him out of the city and led him unto the brow of the hill whereon their city was built, that they may cast him down headlong. They were going to kill him. But he, passing through the midst of them, went his way. Doesn't even tell it how, but he did perform a miracle there in Nazareth. And when they got up on that hill, he just slipped away. However he did it. Maybe he blinded them. Maybe he just simply walked away. We don't know. But look there again in verse 27. And many lepers were in Israel in the time of Elisha, the prophet, and none of them were cleansed, saving Naaman the Syrian. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you, God, for today. We thank you for the opportunity to meet together in your house. And Lord, what an example you've laid for us down in Scripture. Help us, Lord, to see these truths today. Help us to see our need for a Savior, as well, Lord, as the empowerment of the Holy Spirit to live a Christian life. In Jesus' name, amen. If you would, in your Bibles, turn over to 2 Kings chapter 5. We'll read a few scriptures over there. 2 Kings chapter 5. I'm glad today that God rules in the affairs of men. And when it seems that God isn't there, He's always there. And in the day and age which we live, we must be reminded that we must put our hope in God. Our hope in God. 2 Kings chapter 5, in verse 1 it says, "Now Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master, and honorable, because by him..." Listen to this statement. You ought to underline this in your Bible. "That by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria, and he was also a mighty man in valor, but he was a leper." Notice the Lord gave him deliverance unto Syria. In other words, God, the Lord used this captain, this captain of Syria. Isn't that amazing? Understand this morning. God will use anybody. God will use you and God will use me. Amen? "And the Syrians had gone out by companies and had brought away captive out of the land of the Israel a little maid, and she waited on Naaman's wife. And she said unto her mistress, 'Would God my Lord were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy.'" And we won't take time again to read the whole thing. We're going to touch on all of these particular scriptures in just a moment. But here we have a captain of the host, a captain of the armies of the king of Syria. This man had been used of God to deliver the Syrian army, the Syrian country, out of the many hands of his enemies. Now the Syrians were attacking Israel, kind of like going in, attacking them, coming back out, attacking them, taking over various cities on the north. God was going to use Syria and Assyria to take down the northern kingdom. And it wouldn't be happening too long after this. And yet here we have a captain of the host of the armies of the Syrians with leprosy. They had taken a little slave girl from Israel, and now that girl was taking care of Naaman's wife. And when the little slave girl told the other servants as well as his wife, it said, "Would to God that Naaman knew of Elisha the prophet." Now look at the rest of the story. It says in verse 4, "And one went in and told his lord, saying, 'Thus and thus said the maid that is of the land of Israel.' And the king of Syria said, 'Go, and I will send a letter unto the king of Israel.' And he departed and took with him 10 talents of silver and 6,000 pieces of gold and 10 changes of raiment." And again, we see Naaman was in a hot spot. Now, let me back up a little bit. Naaman had leprosy. Leprosy is not just a picture of sin. Leprosy is a picture of the effects of sin. Anytime you see the word leprosy in the Bible, it's a picture of the effects of sin. How sin affects people. We know that leprosy is under the skin. It's deeper than the skin. It rises up out of the skin. So sin does. Sin is deeper than just this flesh. Sin is here. It's in the heart. Amen? The Bible says that the heart is desperately wicked. Who can know it? The Bible says we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. As written, there's none righteous, no, not one. We are all sinners. Amen? And it goes much deeper than just this old skin. The effects of leprosy. The leprosy spreads. Like any disease such as this, it spreads. So sin will spread if it's not kept in check. Amen? One sin leads to another. The Bible speaks of that each person has a sin that besets them. And we are all humbled by that besetting sin. Amen? And we know that. And sin also defiles. Sin defiles. Leprosy spreads and leprosy defiles the body. So sin defiles the body. Sin affects us. It's in our heart. We are selfish by nature. Sin affects us. Sin spreads. One sin leads to another. It's kind of like one lie leads to another lie, right? Amen? And sin defiles the spirit. Sin defiles the body. You understand this morning that God didn't set down rules just so we couldn't have any fun. God set down laws to protect us from ourselves. Again, God always has our best interest in mind. Amen? He says, wine is a mocker, strong drink is raging. And whosoever drinks of it is a fool. Right? Let me repeat that again. Wine is a mocker, strong drink is raging. So the Bible says, God is saying, by way of Solomon, that those who drink wine, that it's going to mock them. It's going to come back and get them. Strong drink is raging. I'll say, if the Bible preaches against drinking alcohol, which it does, amen. By the way, it doesn't just preach against hard alcohol, which is why I quoted that particular scripture. It says, wine is a mocker. Right? So if the Bible preaches or teaches against a person drinking alcoholic beverages, did God put that down simply so you couldn't have any fun? No. Why did He put it down? Because alcohol defiles. You say, well, preacher, I can handle it. You know what? You may be able to handle it. But the child you're being an example to may not be able to handle it. Sin affects us. You say, preacher, you're saying drink is a sin? I'm absolutely saying that. It is a sin to drink. It defiles us. It defiles us. Sin isolates us. Leprosy would isolate a person. A person who got leprosy would have to live outside the camp. He couldn't live with his wife. He couldn't live with his children. He couldn't have a normal job. He had to live outside the camp. Sin isolates a person. I'm telling you right now, sin will isolate you. Sin will isolate you. Sin will put you off in the corner. Sin will have you hunkered down in front of a computer screen, isolating you. Sin will make you irritable to other people. By the way, when I was talking about the computer screen, I was talking about pornography, okay? I didn't mean those of you who are gamers. I didn't mean to get on to that. Those will isolate you too, but I'm messing with you. Sin will isolate you. Listen, those old rags of the leprosy, the lepers wrapped their sores in, only fit for the fire. And so our sins are only fit for the fire. I tell you what, sin will affect you in ways that you'll never understand. The Bible says no man lives to himself, no man dies to himself. Every sin we commit not only affects us, but affects those around us. And Naaman was in a fix. He had leprosy. By the way, we're helpless when it comes to sin. And Naaman was helpless when it came to leprosy. If you got leprosy during this day and age, it meant death. It meant death. Naaman was helpless. Except a little slave girl said, I know a man who could take care of that. Word got back to Naaman, and man, he went to his king, the king of Syria, and said, hey, can I go down and see the prophet? And the king said, yes, go. And here's some letters to the king of Israel. Take these letters down. Now remember, Syria and Israel weren't friendly with each other. So when the captain of the armies of Syria comes down into Israel with his entourage, do you think that made the king of Israel nervous? Absolutely it did. Look here with me again. It says in verse 6, "And he brought the letter to the king of Israel, saying, Now when this letter is coming to thee, behold, I have therewith sent Naaman my servant to thee, that thou mayest recover him of his leprosy." He said, "Okay, king of Israel, you heal my captain of the leprosy." Man. And it came to pass when the king of Israel had read the letter that he rent his clothes. Took his clothes off, rent his clothes, tore his clothes to pieces, and said, "Am I God to kill and to make alive, that this man doth send unto me to recover a man of his leprosy? Wherefore consider, I pray you, and see how he seeketh a quarrel against me." He's just wanting to fight. He sent this captain down, and he just wants to fight. Got nervous. Rent his clothes. Who am I? Am I God that I can take life or give life? But look at verse 8. "And it was so when Elisha, the man of God," love that statement, "had heard that the king of Israel had rent his clothes, that he sent to the king, saying, Wherefore hast thou rent thy clothes? Let him come now to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel." So Naaman sent word unto the king and said, "Listen, send the captain of the Syrians down here. Send the captain down here." By the way, Naaman sought help. When we are in our sin, we should seek help. Listen, we are dead in trespasses and sin. We need help. And Naaman sought help. He sought help. He took great gifts with him. He took the silver and the gold with him and changes of raiment, 10 changes of raiment. But let me tell you, the help that he wanted couldn't be bought. Look with me. "So Naaman came with his horses and with his chariot and stood at the door of the house of Elisha. And Elisha sent a messenger to him, saying, Go and wash in Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean." You know, no doubt the captain, this Syrian captain thought that, again, he says it in just a moment, he thought Elisha would come out and do some great ritual and heal him there on the spot. But Naaman didn't even come out to meet him. He just sent a messenger and said, "Go wash in Jordan 7 times." Naaman the captain. Naaman the captain. Listen, you think about the king's reaction, Israel's king. By the way, this is King Joram. Israel's king. Do you think Israel's king, Joram, knew about Elisha? Absolutely. He knew of the prophet. Why didn't the king say to the captain of the Syrian army, "Hey, I can't heal you, but God can. Why don't you go down and see the prophet of God?" Why didn't he do that? Because, again, Israel had fallen into sin. They had fallen into sin. There was no faith there. The king of Israel should have taken the opportunity to be a witness to that Syrian captain. But he wasn't. By the way, that was Israel's purpose. God chose Israel to be a witness to the world. And here the king set aside his opportunity. But Elisha had the cure. Elisha, the man of God, had the cure. Are you listening this morning? Listen, the king of Israel didn't have the cure. Amen? King of Israel didn't have the cure, but God did. And God has the cure for sin this morning. And it can't be bought. See, he brought all that gold and silver with him, but Elisha refused it. It can't be bought. Healing can't be bought. The Bible says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." Oh, Naaman the leper was helpless. And we are helpless in our sin. We can't overcome sin. The only cure, God has. The only cure for Naaman the leper, God had. Elisha, used of God, said to Naaman the leper, "Go down and wash in the river Jordan, and thou shalt recover." Look there with me in verse 11. But Naaman was wroth. He got a little bit ticked and said, and went away and said, "Behold, I thought he will surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and strike his hand over the place and recover the leper." Are not Abana and Pharpah rivers of Damascus better than all the waters of Israel? May I not wash in them and be clean? So he turned and went away in a rage. Listen, Naaman thought again. He thought, listen, I thought for sure I'd come down here and Elisha the prophet would come out and he would touch me and he would touch the leprosy and it would be healed. But instead he tells me to go down and wash in the river Jordan, a dirty river. Isn't there clean rivers up in Damascus? And he named two of them. Aren't they a lot better rivers? Aren't they cleaner rivers? He said, why didn't you send me up there to wash in the clean rivers rather than this old dirty Jordan? By the way, the Jordan River was only 32 miles away from where he was at. Something so simple, Naaman the leper just couldn't get it. He was mad. He was upset. Understand this morning that salvation is simple. The cure for sin is simple. And the reason why a lot of people do not accept the Lord as their Savior and do not accept the cure for sin is because it's so simple. They want to make it so hard. Listen to what, in fact, Naaman's servant saved him. Look at this, verse 13. And his servant came near and spake unto him and said, My father, if the prophet had bid thee do some great thing, wouldest thou not have done it? How much rather then when he saith to thee, Wash and be clean? He said, listen, Naaman, I mean, if he would have asked you to do some great and powerful thing, you would have been honored to have done it. If he asked you to do some great and noble thing, you would have done it. But he simply asked you to go wash and now you won't do it? The simple thing? Some people are expecting God to come down in 100-foot Jesus and tell them they're saved or tell them they're okay. Listen, the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 1 that God at sundry time in diverse manners spake in time past by the prophets, but in this last days has spoken to us by His Son through the Word of God. God isn't going to come down in some manifestation and take care of your problems. That's not the cure for sin. The cure for sin is simple. The Bible says if you simply believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Saved from what? Saved from sin. Saved from the wrath of God that's been placed upon your sin. Saved from the curse of sin. Saved from the effects of sin. Amen? Simple. Simple. Naaman just couldn't get it. Thank the Lord for his servant. Maybe it was his son. Says my father. Maybe it was his son. Said, Dad, if he'd have told you to do some great thing, he'd have done it. Listen, some people think, oh man, I've got to turn over a new leaf, or I've got to get baptized, or I've got to, you know, join the church, or I've got to give so much to the poor, or I've got to do this and do that. Listen, you don't have to do nothing except go wash in the precious blood of Jesus Christ. It's the blood of Jesus Christ, the Bible says, that cleanses from all unrighteousness, Titus says. Just washed in the blood. Everybody has the privilege of going to heaven God's way or going to hell their own way. Naaman had that opportunity. He could be healed God's way or he could go away cursed and leprosy. He was humbled. Naaman was humbled. He was humbled. His servant said to him, won't you simply go do what the prophet told you to do? Look at the rest of it. Then went he down, verse 14, and dipped himself seven times in Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God, and his flesh came again like unto the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. Listen, if you're here this morning, we are under the curse of sin. The only way to cure that is by believing and trusting in Jesus Christ. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. The Bible says the wages, the penalty of sin, the penalty of being selfish by nature, the penalty of having leprosy, the penalty of the effects of sin, the penalty is death, hell in the lake of fire. And the cure is simply putting your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. It's that simple. It's asking Him to forgive you of your sins, repenting of your sins and coming to Jesus, believing in the life and death and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, it couldn't be done Naaman's way. It had to be done God's way. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me." There are not many ways to heaven. The Bible says there's one way to heaven, and that's through Jesus Christ. Amen? I know we live in a pluralistic society, an Oprah Winfrey society that says all roads lead to heaven, but the Bible does not say that. The Bible says contrary to that. The Bible says Jesus Christ is the only way. You either believe it or you don't. And I hope and pray this morning that the simplicity, that you can get past the simplicity and come to Jesus and have your sins cured, washed away, forgiven. Christian, this morning, let me just tell you again, reiterate to you, that your ways are not His ways. His ways are not your ways. His ways are a lot higher than our ways, Isaiah says. And I don't know what you may be facing today or what may have come your way, but remember, it can only be done His way. Amen? Let's do it His way. Let's live His way. Be holy, for I am holy. Sin affects us. And after you're saved, yes, your sins are forgiven. Hallelujah. And you escape hell. You have a home in heaven. But not only did the cure of salvation cure us from the penalty of sin, but it cured us from the power of sin. We don't have to live a sinful life. We've been given power through the help of the Holy Spirit to overcome sin in our lives. You don't have to live under your addiction. You don't have to live in that sin. You don't have to do those things. The Bible says you've been given power over those sins. You say, "Well, how can I do that, preacher? How can I do that? Can I get out my Sawzall and cut it out?" No. Well, what if I read this amount of scripture? What if I read this book or that book? Or what if I do this or that? Or maybe I can come down to the church and work for 10 hours a day, every day of the week. Maybe that'll help me as a Christian. Maybe then I can get past my sin. Nope. You know how you get cured of sin as a Christian? How you get power over sin as a Christian? By simply putting your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. See, it's grace that saves us. It's also grace that keeps us. And it's grace that empowers us to live the Christian life. And so many times we think, "Well, if I'll just serve enough, if I'll do enough, then I can get victory over this sin in my life." No! You're going the wrong direction. Quit going over here and the things that you can do and go over here and see what Christ already did for you. Christ gives the power you to oversee. You say, "Preacher, you're again doing all that high in the sky, superficial, spiritual stuff that nobody understands." Tell me how, just give me where the rubber meets the road. As a Christian, how do I live the Christian life? Do you live the Christian life by way of the Lord Jesus Christ? By putting your faith and trust in Him. And when sin comes into your life as a Christian, and yes, you do not lose your salvation, but you lose that fellowship, you simply go to Christ as you did at salvation. You simply go to Him, confess that sin. He forgets that sin, cleanses you from that sin, and you go on in your Christian life. You go forward in your Christian life. Fellowship has been restored. Growth continues as a Christian. Amen? You say, "Well, how do I grow as a Christian?" You know that. Read your Bible, pray every day, and you'll grow, grow, grow. Read your Bible, pray every day, pray every day. Pray every day. Read your Bible, pray every day, and you'll grow, grow, grow. We'll do the actions to it? No? It's a great action song we do with our kids. Amen. It's as simple as that. You say, "Preacher, it's simple." I know it's simple, but it's so hard, isn't it? It's so hard to go to Jesus and lay those burdens on Him as a Christian. It's so hard to go to Christ and lay those cares and those sins at His feet. It's hard to do those things. But I'm telling you today, He says, "My yoke is easy, my burden's light." If you come to Him, He'll lift the burden. Whatever you're facing today, whatever hardship or trial that may come your way, He'll lift that burden for you. And it's as simple as coming to Him. I conclude it this way this morning. First off, He tells Naaman to go back and be a witness. And we ought to be a witness. Just as that slave girl was a witness, we ought to be a witness for our Savior. Amen? Let me encourage you to witness to somebody this week. Pray, "Lord, send somebody my way that I can witness to. Send somebody my way I can talk to about the Lord." Maybe the Lord will lay a certain person upon your heart. Brother Terry, a preacher friend of mine, said that he got up last week Monday and he said, "Lord, I want to lead somebody to the Lord this week." And he put two tracts in his pocket and he started handing out tracts. About 3 days later, he got a call. He said the man called him up and said, "Is this Brother Terry?" And he was crying over the phone. It was a man. He said, "Brother Terry, I want to get saved." And he had received a tract from Brother Terry. And he led him to the Lord over the phone. And the man showed up last Sunday. Hopefully going to baptize him tonight. You know, we just need to let God use us to be a witness for Him. You say, "Well, preacher, I know I'm lost. I've never accepted Christ as my Savior." Ask the Savior. See, nobody in his hometown would ask. Ask the Savior. Go to Him and call upon Him. Believe in Him. See, they wouldn't ask and they wouldn't believe. Do you believe Jesus Christ lived, died, and rose again? Do you know that you're a sinner? Amen. Simply believe and ask in Him. Ask of Him. And He will save you. He will cure you from your sin debt. Christian, this morning, say born again believer. Again, it's simply asking. They wouldn't ask. Maybe it's been a long time since you've come down and you just asked the Lord to forgive you. Maybe it's been a long time since you simply just came to Him and again, simply put your faith and trust in Him in order that you might live the Christian life. It's that simple. Well, are you willing to ask? Are you willing to believe? Let's all stand.